week's job.
Thank you.
in the name.
Amen.
And he wrote this song called Come to the Savior.
Come to the Savior, where life in its fullness is free. Let him save you the way he already saved me. He'll bring peace to your soul, and he'll make you his very own son. And he'll give
a great day when we sing this at the rugby matches. Amen.
Yes.
As the power of King of all
the ages bow the knee. God alone on his throne. See him high and lifted up.
Announcements.
For days, and then somebody talked to me at breakfast about worship, and I don't know about here, but I know in the States that's what our churches are weak on. Our churches is on worship, yeah. The Lord.
Yeah.
I think that's what church is supposed to be.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
It's time to worship. I mean, we put that on our signs. Worship hour, 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
And but a lot of times we don't do it. Preaching is not worship.
Amen.
Can be, but most of the time it's not. Singing should be worship,
yes.
But a lot of times it's not. If you're not thinking about the words, you're not worshiping.
Amen.
You're just reading words off a page. You're just wasting time. Matter of fact, I think you're taking the Lord's name in vain.
That's right.
You're singing the Lord's name, and you're not thinking about it. You're not thinking about what you're singing. You're taking His name in vain.
Amen.
You're
just, that's right.
Amen. But there's a lady in the Bible that came to Jesus and worshipped Him, and Jesus said, "Wheresoever this gospel is preached, what this woman has done shall be spoken of, a memorial for her." Amen.
She took her hair and dried the tears that fell upon his feet. My, how she loved her master's soul. Her reputation lasted pure, but only he could see. Her tears were for the day they'd laid him low. Then o'er his head she held a vessel filled with sweet perfume, an exorbitant price, but she breaks the box and its fragrance fills the room. What love that has no price, asking nothing in return. The kind you give it, don't think twice. What love, never holding one thing back. Such love that she would give the best she had. What love. From a precious little baby to a man of 33. Down through the years, he watched him grow. From a little town called Bethlehem on to Calvary. Up that lonely hill, he watched. What he felt inside his broken heart, God only knows. But a hammer struck, the vessel broke, then came that precious crimson flow. What love, love that has no price, asking nothing in return, the kind you give and don't think twice. What love, never holding one thing back. Such love that he would give the best he had. What love,
love that we should give the best we have. What love.
Amen. I want to sing this to the gathering guys. Amen.
You sing it to me too, please.
Yes, yes, sir. But this song is about the gathering man.
Yes. Sir.
In Mark chapter 4, Jesus is on the sea with his disciples, and a storm comes, and Jesus calms that storm. And in Mark 5, it says, immediately when they came to shore, this man met
him
out of the tombs, and apparently he'd seen that storm.
Yeah.
And he had a storm on the inside.
Yeah.
And it's not just a gathering, guys. I mean, if you've been in the world, you've had a storm. I mean, there's stuff going on, and only Jesus can calm that storm.
Amen.
I mean, and you know, you try drugs, you try drinking, you try sex, you try money, you try, but it doesn't calm that storm. Amen. But Jesus can calm that storm. Amen.
From the tomb I could see amidst the lightning and thunder a tiny ship about to go under, and I laughed as they tried in vain rough waters to ford. But something happened then I'll never forget, and I still don't quite understand how a man in the boat would keep them afloat with just a wave of his hand. He calmed the storm on the sea that was raging. Still the tempest that nature was waging against their battered form. And there came a peace. Angry winds were silent. The water lay still that once was so violent. And there's something about the man who calmed the storm. Many times they would try, but no one could tame me. Even chains could never contain me. And I'd run to the cold, dark tomb and dwell there alone. Till the man on board the boat came ashore, could calm the storm on the sea. At his feet I would fall, cause I knew he could calm the storm that was raging in me. Calm the storm in my heart that was raging. Still the tempest that Satan was waging against this battered form. And there came a peace. Angry voices were silent. Such a calm man that once was so violent. And there's something about the man who calmed the storm. I wanted to go and live at his side, cause there's no place I'd rather be. But until that day, he wants me to stay and tell what he's done for me. He calmed the storm. Satan was waging against this battered form. And there came a peace. Angry voices were silent. Such a calm man that once was so violent. And there's something about the man who calmed the storm. And I'll never forget the man who calmed the storm.
I just want to thank you, man, for, well, I don't know if you allowed me to be here or not. Preacher invited me, amen. he didn't run me off or kill me or anything, so I appreciate it. Last night was, that was the message. I like it when God talks to me.
Amen.
And wow. Let me sing one more song. Who was it back when you guys in the back were talking about the bend? It may not be the end of the road. Just, amen. I'm learning a song. I just sing the chorus. But sometimes the devil makes it look like it's the end of the road. And it's just a turn, you know. It's not the final mile. It's just another trial. It's not the end of the way. It's just another close of the day. The sun will shine again, and you will see, my friend. It's not the road's dark end. It's just another bend. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's got some good verses, amen, but I don't know them. But thank the Lord. It's not. I know what's going to be the end. It's in the Bible, amen. We're going to be hooping and hollering, amen, at the end. So apparently, if you're going through hell right now, it's not the end yet, amen. And as a matter of fact, in the Bible, the only time you saw a miracle is when it was just so dark. So that ought to excite us. Amen. If you're going through darkness right now, it's almost time for a miracle.
Amen.
Amen. I think miracles are cool. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. A friend loveth at all times. And a brother is, and, amen, a brother is born for adversity. I heard an old preacher say, at the end of your life, if you have five friends, you live a rich life.
Amen.
You have five friends. I'm afraid today, sometimes we really don't know what a friend is. And I got so many things going on. And I'm going to stop at 10:45. I want to hear some popcorn preaching. Amen. But a man that has friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. In Job chapter 2, you know, I think a lot of times we look at Job's friends and we say, you know, if that's friends, who needs enemies?
Yeah.
But I think they were good friends.
Yes, sir. They were.
In chapter 2, verse 13. So they sat down with him. No, 2:13. So they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and seven nights.
That's
good. I need a friend like that. If I got five people, they will do that for me. I don't know if I got five people. I probably do, maybe. Can you imagine somebody taking seven of their days and seven nights and just sitting down with you? I think they were good friends.
Yes.
Not real smart. Anybody here smart? Anybody here ever say stupid things?
Yes, sir.
Anybody ever judge before they know all the information?
and none spake a word unto him. For they saw his grief was very great. I think they were good friends. we need friends. Sometimes we have the wrong attitude about what a real friend is. I got a parent, Brother Alan Jones. He said, a friend lets you know when your fly is down.
Yeah.
Hey, man, you know, I don't warn strangers about that. You know. you just go away and say, what a doofus, you know. Don't know how to pull this fly up, you know. But if it's a friend. I was in Delaware with a good evangelist friend of mine, Brother Sam Gipp, and we were with our wives just eating lunch, and then I was scared they were going to run us off because we just started telling funny stories and laughing like it was a bar. I mean, just hilarious laughing. And Sam and I started telling flies down stories, not jokes, stories. I mean, actually in church, you know, where somebody's fly was down, a preacher or whatever, and just all these stories. And I'll just tell you one. Brother Ed Ballou, old preacher man, was preaching one night, and he was talking about the old truck driving days when he used to drive a truck. And he was sitting on the altar, giving the illustration. He was shifting gears and popping the clutch and shifting gears and just preaching about the old truck driving days. And the pastor had a 3x5 card. He had written something on it and Ed couldn't read it. He just kept on popping the clutch and shifting gears. And finally, 9.5 by 11, you know, paper, your fly is down. And so he's popping the clutch. Every time he pops the clutch, it just opens up, you know. And he goes, he came behind the pulpit and dismissed church. I mean, really, he did. It was over. But we were telling stories like that, and so I went to pay the bill. Sam went into the restroom, and we came out. We were out on the parking lot, just yakking again, talking. I'm in front of Sam, and finally Kathy comes between Sam and I, and she's facing Sam, and she's like this, and Sam looks like this, and he goes, zipped his pants up, amen. I thought, you know, all those stories, and here he comes out with his pants unzipped. But Kathy was his friend, amen. Very discreet, and but I saw Sam's head go down. I thought, oh, no way. It is kind of embarrassing to have to say, hey, you know, your fly is down. Yeah. And if you're a real friend, there's a lot of things that you just call your friend up and say, hey, and you let them know something. Maybe something's wrong.
Yes, sir. Thank God.
Maybe you see him in church. He says, hey, we need to talk. Faithful are the wounds.
Amen.
Of a friend.
Amen.
But the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. If somebody's always sucking up to you, probably means they're not your friend.
Yeah.
Probably means they're a pusher.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
My son went to Hawaii with us to a meeting, and he stayed an extra week. I mean, I had another meeting to go to, but he stayed there an extra week, and he flew into L.A. and then took a bus from L.A. to San Francisco, where I was. And once in Hawaii, twice on the bus, he was offered free drugs. Free. And the three times he says, hey, I don't do drugs. And all three guys says, good man, don't ever get started. You know? Wow. Yeah. I mean, all three of them, all good man, that's good, don't ever get started. But when somebody does something like, they're not your friend. No, nothing's free. Nothing's free. But and it's not just you guys in the home there. But it is. Somebody that tries to get you into trouble or gets you to do things that are wrong, they're not your friends.
That's right.
Oh, but man, we've gone through this, we've gone through that. They're not your friends. I don't care. Hey, I don't care if they're your brother. I don't care if you've been buds for years. They're not your friend.
Amen.
There are some preachers that I can't hang with.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
You just have to use discernment. There are some but he's a preacher. Yeah, and he's wicked. He tells dirty jokes.
Mm.
Or he's negative all the time. There's some preachers, I get depressed when I get around them. So I get depressed without being around them. So what do I need to hang with them for? I mean, it's bad enough as it is, you know. I don't get around guys. They're not your friend. If every time you go around them, you're down when you leave, you might ought to be more choosy about your friends. Job, listen, these guys were his friends. But just be careful with the wrong friendship. Look in 2 Samuel chapter 13. 2 Samuel 13. Second Samuel 13, verse 1. And it came to pass after this that Absalom, the son of David, had a fair sister whose name was Tamar. And Amnon, the son of David, loved her. Are you getting this? This is a son of David. This is a daughter of David. And Amnon was so vexed that he fell sick for his sister Tamar. For she was a virgin, and Amnon thought it hard for him to do anything to her. So, Is it possible to have an infatuation for someone that you have no business being with? Is it possible to have an infatuation?
Yes, sir.
Yes. He had an infatuation with his half-sister, but he knew it was wrong.
Yes, sir.
And he was sick about it. I mean, he wanted her so bad, but he didn't do anything because he knew it was wrong. But Amnon had a friend whose name was Jonadab, the son of Shimei, David's brother. And Jonadab was a very subtle man. And he said to him, "Why art thou being the king's son lean from day to day? Wilt thou not tell me?" And Amnon said to him, "I love Tamar, my brother Absalom's sister." And Jonadab said to him, "Lay thee down on the bed," and he starts making plans. He said, "This is the way you do it." I just want you to be careful about the friends that you have. Amnon had a friend. With friends like that, who needs enemies?
Right.
Now, if you know the end of the story, it got him killed. Tamar didn't satisfy him. I mean, as soon as they had sex together, he hated her. Because it was wrong. I mean, the guilt was there. I mean, he hated her. So the situation was wrong. And then he got killed. But I'm just saying, be choosy who your friends are. Listen, here's Job's friends. And look at, I'll just read it to you. Job 19, verse 21. Here's Job. I mean, after 17 chapters of them just ripping on Job, ripping on Job. Job says, have pity upon me. Have pity upon me, O ye my friends.
Yeah.
For the hand of God hath touched me. I mean, these guys are, I think they're honestly trying to help him. I think they honestly think that Job has done something wrong and his pride is keeping him from confessing it. And they're preaching to him. You know what? Sometimes we just don't need preaching to. We just need somebody to love us. Probably, if they'd have just kept their mouth shut and listened to Job. Job's the one started. I mean, after they sat with him, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. He just starts talking. If they'd have left him alone, he could have probably talked himself through this thing and got it taken care of. And they just said, amen, Job. We love you and we're praying for you.
Amen.
But then they have to put in their 2 cents worth. You know, and maybe 1 cent worth. Job 6:14 says, to him that is afflicted, pity should be shown from his friend. But he forsaketh the fear of the Almighty. And our memory verse, a friend loveth at all times. And a brother is born for adversity. There's such a thing as being a faithful friend. How many in here are perfect? I mean, in our sense of the word, not in God's, but in our sense of the word, I mean, you've got all your ducks in a row and you just want to testify. Amen. But sometimes you expect your friend to. If they make one mistake, I need friends that know up front that I make mistakes.
Amen.
And they love me anyway.
Amen.
I want to say this. Somebody mentioned, maybe it's you, I don't know, mentioned me, tell them they love them. Yeah. That's not sissy.
Yeah. Amen.
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 I don't think you'd want to meet David one-on-one with a sword. Or Jonathan.
Yeah.
I mean, Jonathan took on a whole garrison.
That's right.
By himself. I think he was a man.
Amen.
And the Bible says the love that they had for each other surpassed the love of women.
Hallelujah.
It's okay.
Amen.
As a matter of fact, before you get married, I think there ought to be guys that you love more than girls.
Amen.
And you know what I'm not talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And you know what I'm not talking about. I mean, that's wicked. But a lot of people read that in there and say they had a homosexual. No, you know better than that.
Right.
But they weren't afraid to hug each other.
Yeah.
Well, I've hugged guys and they're like a statue.
Right. Yeah.
You got a dirty mind, man.
Amen.
You just got a dirty mind. There's nothing wrong with guys hugging each other in Christian love, brotherly love, friendship. Nothing wrong with that at all. Amen. You statue. No, I've hugged preachers, and boy, I mean, you just think I violated them, you know? No. Well, I mean, David and Jonathan, the last time they saw each other, they hugged each other and they wept. And the Bible says, and David exceeded. I mean, he was just. Well, I'm a man and I'm not into that crying. No, you're a wuss. Jesus wept. You know, guys don't cry. Guys don't wear pink shirts. A man can do anything he wants to do. That's right. man doesn't wear pink shirts. I started wearing one just to start fights.
Okay.
I'm okay with my manhood. I mean, I'm not, you know, wearing a pink shirt, I know I'm a man. You know. Besides that, it's not pink, it's raspberry sherbet. That's what my wife told me. Yes. I remember getting in a fight when I was a junior higher, 8th grade, 9th grade, got in a fight with two guys, brothers. And I don't know what they'd done, but they made me mad. And I was crying. And they mistook what my crying meant. They mistook it as weakness. And I cry when I get mad. And one of them started making fun of me crying and questioning my manhood. And so I laid into them and whipped both of them. And cried the whole time I did it. In the middle of it, they started crying. Don't mistake crying as a weakness. Sometimes they might, they're going to lay you out. You need good men friends. You preachers, you see, having friends, I mean, the right kind of friends, makes you kind of vulnerable.
Yes, sir. That's right.
It takes a trust.
Yes.
I mean, when you call a brother up on the phone and says, hey, I'm going through, and you start letting them know, that just kind of makes you vulnerable.
Yeah, right.
And you don't want to be vulnerable.
Yeah.
You've got to find somebody you can trust.
Amen. Amen. That's good. That's
good. Because you need a friend. I think I have, I might have that many friends that I can call and say, hey, man, and just start talking. And nobody's going to find out about it. Nobody's going to find out about it. And they can call me, and guess what? Nobody's going to know what they said.
Amen.
That's a friend. That's a friend. Preachers are so scared that they just don't get friends. Of the five or so friends that I have, I don't agree with them on a lot of things.
Yeah. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Of the five friends that I have, they have friends that I wouldn't spit on if they was on fire. I'm just saying, I would have never chosen them as a friend. And I have friends that chose guys, I'm thinking, what? But it's okay.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Hey, preachers. Well, if you're hanging with these people, I just, you know, I'm just going to separate.
Come on now.
You're just going to be an individual that's, hey, man, you need to have some friends.
Yeah, amen.
It has some mercy. Have some grace.
Amen.
I mean, Job's friends were real friends. Just a note here, it says they weren't that bad, just didn't have a balanced approach. Hey, man, they just... It's wrong to judge people's motives. You don't know why people do what they do.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
You can judge what they do, but you cannot judge why they do. You don't know.
Well, that's good. That's very good.
And you don't know what you would do if you were in the same situation. I've had friends call me and ask me for advice about stuff, and they're talking about something I don't have a clue about. Well, brother, I think you ought to... Sometimes I say, brother, I don't know. I'm just going to pray for you.
Amen.
I don't know. Now I've got 300 kids now. I mean, I thought I was done. We had seven. They're almost all out of the house. And I'm teaching in Bible college. We got about 300. And they come to asking me. I mean, I'm the dad. They ask me questions. And sometimes I just don't know. But nobody's going to find out about what they ask me.
Yeah, that's good.
Amen. Just a note here, it says, these friends were not God. They didn't know everything. So they should have been very, very slow to judge. I want to say this in closing. The Bible says that Abraham was God's friend. You know, God's not near as picky about friends as we are.
Wow.
He can't afford to be. He wouldn't have any.
That's right.
If he tried to find everybody holy as he is, he wouldn't have any friends.
That's right.
Brother Joseph mentioned it, but it's in my notes in Matthew 26, verse 50. Judas betrayed him, and Jesus called him friend. Friend, betrayest thou me with a kiss? I just want you to think about being a friend to people. Being a friend to people. People knowing that you'll be their friend. This men's retreat is the best thing going on in Ireland.
Amen.
Yeah. I mean, back in the States, it was big. It had Promise Keepers. It was just a big old amalgamation of everything. You know, John, we call them Promise Weavers. Amen. But the need was there.
Yes, sir.
There was a need for men to meet together. And share and share burdens. And you know, they're all messed up. But there's some men in California have what they call master's men. Mm-hmm. Last time I went there were 1,000 men. Fundamental, independent, Baptist men.
Yes, sir.
That meet together.
Thank
you. And pew, 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 iron sharpening iron.
Thank God.
Yeah. And I just want to encourage you. I have friends on this island that aren't here.
Amen. Amen.
They're independent.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Now I'm talking to you preachers. Mm-hmm. But you're here. Amen. Praise the Lord. But if you're their friend, you need to rip them as a friend. Mm-hmm. Say, hey, you and your men need to come
That's
to this
good.
Meeting.
That's good. You're right.
Amen.
Amen. You're right.
I went to South Africa. I'm
Amen.
Closing. I've been sweet, and I'm going to be mean. I went to South Africa. That's a long way off. That's a fur piece. Amen. We call it. Went to be with Ken Eubanks in Mafeking, Maputhatswana. It's in South Africa. And in the middle of nowhere. I mean, in the world, it's in the middle of nowhere. There was another missionary that our church supported in the same town. I saw him once in a truck driving downtown. That's the only time I saw him. I preached there a whole week. I saw him one time in a pickup truck, and the Brother Eubanks said, "There's Brother so-and-so." I said, "Is he coming to the meeting?" Well, I invited him. Because they had some issues. Hey, grow up.
Amen.
Grow up. You don't take my ball and go home. You're a sissy. I went back home, told Brother Eastep, he was my pastor then. I said, "I saw Brother Saul, but he didn't come." He said, "He didn't come to one meeting." I said, "No." He said, "We're not supporting him anymore." He said, when my evangelist preaches and he's in the same town, he don't come, he said, I'm not going to support you anymore. Amen. Let's grow up. But let's be a friend. Find somebody to be a friend to. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. If you don't start befriending other people, you're going to need one day.
Yeah, that's good.
And you're not going to have one. If you're so independent and you're so macho that you don't need anybody, you're going to get into a situation one time where you need somebody. Amen. As good or as bad a friend they were, Job did have some friends. He was a great man. He should have had friends, and he did. He did. Well, I don't like so-and-so there. If they're trying to be a friend, I would let them be my friend. Amen. What a friend we have in Jesus.
Amen.
Glad he's not too picky. Amen. He's my friend. Amen. Amen. Father, we love you. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us discern what being a real man is, and a real man of God, and a separated man of God. And Lord, there's no man that I agree with 100% on every issue. If I tried to find a man that agreed with me on every little tiny point, I just wouldn't have any friends. And Lord, I'm thankful that we have a great example in you. And God, I pray that you'd help us to show ourselves friendly. I pray for these preachers that as they see these other preachers that aren't here, that could have been here, Lord, that they would be the real friend that they need to be. And faithfully wound that person and say, you need to come. You need that fellowship. You need the encouragement. Iron sharpening iron. Lord, no doubt some of these guys are dull blades. And Lord, I pray for these men from the home.
Yeah.
I pray you. I know some of them have bad friends. And they're faithful. They don't want to turn them loose. But God, they're going to have to turn them loose if they're going to make it.
Yeah.
I pray you give them discernment about that. I know they love them probably and want to see them saved. But Lord, they just can't hang with them, communicate with them, listen to them, and make it. And Lord, some of these young people here that the peer pressure and all the other things that go on, I pray you give them real wisdom to know what a real friend is. God, that their dad can be their friend. Lord, that their pastor can be their friend. It doesn't have to be the cool guy and the guy that's up on all the worldly things. It don't have to be that way. It can be a man of God. And Lord, just to work, thank you for what we've heard this week. God, it's been so great. Thank you for the message last night on brokenness. And Lord, I just pray that all of us, Lord, as we go, we'd be a better husband, a better dad, better son, better church member, a better son of God. God, thank you. Thank you for Brother Ledbetter. I thank you, Lord, for him having the vision, the burden.
Amen.
No doubt most of the work. And I pray that you'd help men get behind him and help him in the work. Help him organize and different things. And Lord, just be with us now in this preaching we're about to hear. Thank you for these men that have something to say and are not intimidated or anything to say it. And God, just fill them with the Holy Ghost. Yes. Give them power. Put your hand on them. And God, would you put your hand on some Irish men to preach the gospel.
Amen.
Put your hand on some Irish men, Lord, to see the need of just surrendering to preach the gospel, and that won't be scared to lift their voice up go against their nature.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I've been around here. It's not people's nature to be loud. It's not people's... Lord, you said lift up your voice like a trumpet.
Amen.
It may not be their nature to do it, but God, they have a great message to tell.
Amen.
And they ought to not be intimidated to lift up their voice and tell it.
Yes, sir.
God, I pray that you just put real grit.
Amen.
I was thinking about that word integrity. Gritty. Amen. They need some integrity. Just get some grit in their pants.
Amen.
And God, to just fill them with the Holy Ghost and use them. Lord, I'm anxious to hear it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. Thank you. Imagine how much we've done. And Psalm 46, and I just have a short message from it. It's a bit of a long one. Psalm 18. And in verse 46, it's great to get up here just after someone like Brother Buddy, you know. But I know this is not a competition, so thank God. So I just pray that the Lord will be exalted, Lord. And I love you. I love your word, and I appreciate everything you've done, Lord. And I appreciate this weekend or this couple of days here, Lord. Lord, I praise you and I thank you, and may all the glory go to you, Lord, for everything that's happened here this last couple of days. I praise you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Psalm 18, verse 46 reads, "The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock, and let the Lord, the God of my salvation, be exalted." And just to work that backwards, God of my salvation, we know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. And He needs to be exalted. And how do we do that? And you know, I've only got 5 minutes, so otherwise I need 5 hours, I need 5 years, I need a lifetime to exalt God and to lift Him up. But we have the Bible, and blessed be my rock, the Bible says. And one of the first things I learned when I got saved, when Pastor Zemeski led me to the Lord, is who that rock was. I remember his wife's, Mrs. Zemeski's life verse, and that's where I was going before I got this message. I was going into Psalm 18, verse 2, Mrs. Zemeski's life verse. And it was, "The Lord is my rock." And I remember Pastor Zemeski challenging me to go and find out who that rock was. And it was Jesus Christ. There's no doubt whatsoever, the rock is Jesus Christ. He is the rock. Now, my Bible also says in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. So Jesus Christ is the Word. And He's a rock. He's a Word. He's lots of things. He's a rock and He's a Word. And I hear people talking. I hear Brother Jerome Pittman here saying that... The Bible, he's not a King James. You're a pussycat. I am absolutely nuts on King James.
Yeah.
I want to be more than fanatic. I really am. And this Bible is pure. It's pure. There is not a single error in this translation here. There's not a single one. This is a pure, pure book. It really is. I want to try and illustrate that. I've got a friend down there. Brother Don, and you know Brother Don and I are friends, and he's a pastor down, a preacher down in them, and a missionary down in Waterford, and he told some stories over the years that I've heard him talk about, and I just wanted to demonstrate, for example, what the NIV is, and what's a half-truth, you know, and I think the NIV is full of half-truths.
Amen.
It's limited.
Amen.
For example, when Don comes into his father and he says, "Dad, I parked the tractor," he wasn't telling the full truth. The full truth was, if he told properly, was, "Dad, I parked the tractor in the pond." So that was the full truth. Okay. How about another? And the NIV also has, it tells things, but not the way they are. It twists God's truth, and it doesn't deliver it the way it should
preach.
Be. Yeah. So you know, when Brother Don, when he was a little kid, and he came into his dad, and he said, "Dad, there's pretty lights, and they're shining in the woods." Yeah, that was true. But he'd set them on fire, so they were pretty light. right. He didn't give the full truth, and the NIV is like that. It's poison.
Amen.
And you pastors are probably not, I know Brother Jerome is, I know Brother Bob is, you're probably not telling your people how important it is that we are KJV only. We are KJV enthusiasts. Or if you can read the original Greek and original Hebrew and Aramaic, fine. But we are KJV only. And just the start of that verse is, the Lord liveth. And, you know, for us to understand and to believe this Bible, we've got to get first in a place where we believe that the Lord liveth.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is alive today and alive right now.
Yes,
and he's here with us right now.
Amen.
And Job said, and I just got that at the end here, Job in 1925, Job said, "For I know that my Redeemer liveth."
Amen.
Amen. That's it.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And three messages in one. Amen. I saw another hand. Who else got preaching? Come on up, Brother Steve.
Amen. Bring that guitar.
Just like to share a thought with you that I've been thinking and chewing on all week. If you'll turn to John chapter 6. And we'll read the first few verses here about Jesus feeding of the 5,000. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, "Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat?" And this he said to prove them, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, There is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are these among so many? And Jesus said, Make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, Gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together, and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above all them unto them that had eaten. The thought that occurred to me when I read this earlier this week, and I don't think I'd ever really thought of it in this light before, the wonder of this event is not the miracle that happened. I mean, Jesus is God Almighty. And he has all power. It should be no surprise to us that he took 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes and fed a whole multitude with it. The wonder of this is that he actually used his disciples to distribute it. When you look at their faith there, or lack of it, Andrew was totally cynical there. Philip seemed to have no faith at all. Andrew at least mentioned, you know, well, there's a lad here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. I don't know if he actually thought the Lord was going to do something or not. Maybe he was being totally cynical too. But I got to thinking, you know, small faith is lack of faith. Lack of faith is unbelief, and unbelief is sin, and it's wicked. And I thought, I'm no better than these guys. Why does Jesus use me? I don't know. We can all understand the spiritual illustration of this miracle. Jesus as the bread of life, breaking the bread and distributing it to the whole world. He's taken that task upon himself. God's word is not going to return void. He's promised to preserve it, to protect it. It's been 2,000 years. Governments have been trying to destroy this word. It's still with us. We still have it. God has made that promise. That we shouldn't be surprised at that. What we should be surprised at is that God still uses us in spite of our unbelief. And that's why I'm just thankful for this promise in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. The more I grow in the Lord, the more I'm just awestruck and wonder that God still abides faithful to me. I just understand just what a rotten sinner I am. I'm thankful that he does abide faithful.
Amen.
Just a testimony? Well, it's not just a testimony. I was saved, I'm Kieran Carney, 25 years of age. I was saved on the 27th of December 2006. I was on the streets, and due to an injury to my leg, I was crippled, and I was begging because I couldn't feed my habits. I had a number of habits I couldn't feed because I wasn't able to tea and rob anymore, you know. But I'll just go back a bit, right? For 20 years, I was an addict of some sort. Alcohol, drugs, everything, really, you know. I spent probably 18 of me life years in prison, in and out of prison, like a yo-yo. There was people in my town, my family, that said I'd probably die from drugs or because of drugs or spend the rest of my life in prison. I was like all of us, a no-hoper. But that's not the best part that God has done for me in my life. The best part is that I have three children, and my addiction stops here. And it's not passed down onto them. You know? And that fills me full of joy, you know, because that's the best part. It's not for me, you know, it's for my children, you know. And I just have a little scripture here. It's Psalm 71, 20 and 21. And I was in America last year. I was at a convention. And this was given to me by a pastor because I was talking to him about my children and much what I'm talking about here, and it's just thou which has showed me great and sore troubles shall quicken me again.
Amen.
And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. Good. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Who else? Yes, sir, brother, come on up.
I just want to thank you for everyone's life today. And even learning about Job is actually a great experience for us. So I think we should add one more thing to it. We spoke about everything and we need to know how to talk to other people. So we need to use our tongue. We need to open our Bible to some
71:24.
Yeah, there. Say, my tongue also shall talk of thy righteousness all day long, and they shall,
amen.
And they have confounded, for they have brought unto shame and sick my heart. It's good for us to use God's, as in, we should use our tongue. Pronounce good things, not bad things. We should not use our tongue to curse, because the tongue has the power of life and death. So, I think you, Father, I know I'm still going to grow up to be a father. You know, we should, to our children, we should bless them every day. Mm-hmm. We should not curse them at all.
Amen.
So, we should, whatever we say to them, will help them in the future. In Philippians 2:11, it says, every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Before we are saved, we have to first confess that Jesus Christ is Lord with our tongue, because the tongue is the most powerful thing.
Mm-hmm.
It can kill, it can do anything. And we should also keep our tongue from evil.
Yeah.
Then,
mm-hmm.
And final, I think we should all study Psalm 91, because it As we all go today now, we're going to the world, we need God's protection. So Psalm 91 tells of God's protection in the midst of dangers.
because out there are lots of dangers. So God doesn't promise us a world, a free world. We should, ask for God's protection. He doesn't promise us a free world, but He promises that we will face danger, but He promises that He will help us in times of dangers. So we should just, I think we should ponder upon that for a while. And I think God will help us.
Amen.
Turn to Proverbs 24, please. Man, it's such a blessing to be here. We were praying yesterday with the boys from the RU House and David, and it was just such a special time. And I'm just so glad to be among all you godly men here, and it's just been such a blessing. And I've just learned so much, and I've been convicted about so much. And as Brother Leslie was saying, you know, about being broken, I just thank the Lord, you know, that He's kind enough to speak to us, you know.
Yeah.
Speak to me, you know. I'm not worth it. Just like Job said, I'm vile, you know, and I'm thankful that the Lord loves me enough to correct me and to show me. So I'm just going to quote from Galatians 5 first, you know. It says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. So as we've been through the men's retreat, we've probably been walking in the Spirit, perhaps some of you more than you have before,
yeah,
even, you know. And I just wanted to encourage you as we go out today to continue walking in the Spirit. I've seen it before. We've been at youth camp.
Right.
We've seen the kids
right.
just absolutely shoot up, you know. They say, you know, a curve of a learning or whatever. They just fly up and they're learning and memorizing Scripture and they're rejoicing in the Lord. And then you hear stories as the weeks go by, as you try and keep in touch with people, as they go back to their churches, that they're dropping down away and perhaps their friends are dragging them back in the wrong direction and things. And I was reading Proverbs 24 the other day, and it says in verse 3, it says, "True wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established. Shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches." So I remember listening to some preaching by Dr. Capasi, and he was saying, anybody could tear a house down.
Yeah.
Anybody could tear a house
Come
down.
On.
We all know that the Bible says you're either building up or you're tearing down.
Yeah.
So if I ask Alberto here to come help me tear down my house, whatever, you know, we just switch off all the electricity and, you know, get a big sledgehammer, you know, rent a few things and start smashing the thing down, you know, place levels, easy. But to build a house
yeah.
is something totally, totally different. And
yeah.
this truth just blew me away. And praise God, we have a master builder,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. So if you turn to Luke 9, you see that we ought to build our life around the Lord. I know that I'm not wise enough to do any building, but I know who is wise enough.
Amen.
Praise God. So Luke 9, verse 23 says, and this is Jesus speaking, and He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." So I don't know if there's any unsaved people there, but if we're all saved, we're all eternally blood-bought, we're going to heaven, heaven-bound, yeah?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. For who is following Jesus? And this ought to be a question that you ought to ask yourself. Are you following Jesus?
Amen.
We've been following Him, we've been listening and hearing the Word of God, and we all know that faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. But a month down the road, are you still going to be, as Pastor Pittman says, enjoying the Lord, rejoicing in me, even when no one is there? So, we went up to collect Buddy on a Wednesday, and he wasn't there. We got our dates wrong, and myself and Barry and Josh, we drove up to the airport, and we were like waiting, you know, and then, you know, 20 minutes later, an hour later, we're like, oh man, you know, so I rang Pastor, and he checked the email, and he was like, it says the 27th. He's like, what day is it? The 26th. So you're like, oh, you know, oh no. But it's exactly the same testimony as Brother Buddy. Barry and I were like, oh, what do we do? And Josh is like, oh, let's go do something fun, you know. So we said that. Barry said, oh, you like castles and historical stuff. So we went off and we went to see a castle. Bunratty was way too expensive, €14. But we saw this castle called Napogue Castle. And we drove in and we're like, yes, yes, you know. And then it said closed. And we're like, oh, you know. So, okay, I'll get to the point. We ended up talking to the gardener of the place, and he took us a tour around and he told us some amazing historical things about the place. So we got to witness to him. Okay, and Brother Mark came to me just yesterday now and told me that he had brought his family there too. And from our previous witnessing, he was able to build on that again and give him another track.
Amen.
And he now knows where nearby there is a Baptist church that's starting up. You know, and I was just so blessed to be a part of God working in someone's life.
Amen.
And my statement is, it grieves me to think of what mightn't have happened had we not gone and served the Lord and gone up and collected body and sacrificed and just been there to do whatever the Lord told us to do. And if you think about your lives today, you know, today it says now is the time of salvation. If you think if you never got saved that day, what road you would have went down and what road you have gone down now and where you are and all the blessings that you have. You know, every day, it says daily here, you ought to seek the Lord and come to Him. And if we're walking in the Spirit, we're not going to go down our own road and a road of vanity. And I know I've been down that road, and that's why I'm talking to teens and trying to help them not go down the road that I went down.
So
just praise God and stay encouraged in the Lord. And
amen.
If anybody ever wants to ring, I'll talk to them. I'll be a friend to them. I'll come up and I'll
sit
down. So praise God. Amen.
Amen. All right. Now, if anybody else wants to preach next year, sorry. We got to clean up. You are never a man of a word or two. He says he's from Monaghan, but I think he's from Blarney.
Yeah.
Get up here, brother.
From where did you say? I'd just like to thank everybody for coming.
Yes.
And I could thank a lot of people and say a lot of good things about a lot of people. But the one person who has done it all is the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
He's made it all possible for everybody. He's used a lot of people. He has used her brother here to get things organized. He has used him in a mighty way. Maybe if he hadn't have done it over the years with the Lord using him, we wouldn't be here today. And I'd like to see everybody here next year, because I'm yearning for next year already. And not just alone that, bring more people. And encourage other people to witness for the Lord. Especially as many of our brothers said, get Irish people to witness to Irish people to bring the gospel to this island of ours. This island of ours has deteriorated dramatically over the years. People have got rich on money and the Lord has went down the drain as far as they are concerned. Irish people can change that.
Amen.
Thank you very much.
I really appreciate all the folks who traveled down from Dublin. Brother Mark Hill came last night and he stayed until 11:30 and then had to drive 2.5, almost 3 hours back. But he wanted to stay, and especially for the popcorn preaching. I appreciate my men, and I appreciate the servant attitude that's been here this week. That's helped me out. A lot of the work that's been done has been sweet. And there are no greater leaders than servants. Don't you buy this masculine idea of, you know, I'll just command. You may for a little while, but people will run, man. You better serve, and I appreciate all the serving. I appreciate Brother Joseph and the zeal of getting us to memorize those scriptures. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We got some under our belt. Brother John, Brother Buddy, Brother Steve Finley. He said he hadn't played that banjo in so long.
Oh, it was good.
Goodness,
awesome.
Man. Amen. And preachers, most of all, thank you.
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate God being able to. I appreciate you yielding to God, nevertheless. Oh, man. Brother Buddy. He took it was a sacrifice for him to come. But I appreciate him being here.
Yeah.
All right, let's stand. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we're not through, and I'm glad you're not through. As we've learned over this last few days, you call us to a living sacrifice. The outward man will perish, but the inner man can be renewed day by day. But it must be day by day. And Lord, the last 2 days, you sure have taught us what it's like to be renewed. That was worth it all. Money couldn't buy what we've gotten. And you want to do it again. I appreciate that, Father. I sure hope these men appreciate it. Lord, we've got a few more things to do. Just cleaning up, having lunch, and then getting on the way. God, I pray for the many miles, all these cars. Lord, I look how 13 years ago, there was probably 3 cars out here in this little place. We met with you, and you blessed my heart. You blessed our men. And they're in a parking lot full out there, God. And I just want to give the glory to you. God, just say thank you for men who came hungry and who leave hungrier for you, Lord. There's something about you that, God, you know, you fill us up. Lord, we want to see how further we can go. And we want to know what it's like to keep losing in order to win. Thank you for breaking our hearts, cracking our pride. I pray you keep working, God. I pray Sunday it just happen all over again. Lord, take us home safely. Lord, this is the last chance right now. This is the last chance we're going to have to be all together at one time. And you said if just 2 or 3 are gathered, you'll be in there in the midst if you're welcome. And we welcome you. We sure thank you. Now, Lord, as we go home, keep us safe. And bless our fellowship. May the memories of what you've done here just never go away. May the friendships that we have made and we're going to make be lifelong. Forgive us where they are so temperamental. We need to choose our friends. But oh, may we stand by our choice, God. Lord, I need to treat people right. And I haven't. I pray you help us all to show myself, to show ourselves friendly. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What you're going to do right now is you're going to take everything that's yours out of here. You're going to take it to your room. You're going to clean up your